remember going to Camp Victory in Waupaca County when I was a Girl Scout. I was probably about 11 or 12 years old. I enjoyed being away from home for a few days and nights, singing around the campfire, learning outdoor skills, sleeping in a tent with my Girl Scout friends. I do recall that the walk to the outhouse in the dark wasn't so much fun, and I'm not a big fan of bugs and spiders. But I had a lot of fun. It was a blast. It wasn't until the very last day of Girl Scout camp, sitting on my suitcase waiting for my parents to pick me up, that I actually felt a little homesick. And this is the song that was going through my mind while I was waiting for them to pick me up. Not sure why I was thinking about the Beach Boys and this song about being out in the ocean, but I thought the lyrics was, "I'm so homesick, I want to go home." I was homesick and I was happy, which happens to be the title of our guest book, which is about the benefits of summer camp. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 16th. We will talk about summer camp during this hour. And we wonder if, did you attend a summer camp when you were a kid? Maybe you worked at a summer camp. Maybe you're a parent who sent your kids to a sleepaway summer camp. What was this experience like for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Michael Thompson. He is author of Homesick and Happy, How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. He's a consulting school psychologist and former board member of the American Camp Association. He's also the author of Raising Cain. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you put homesick and happy in the title of your book?
Well, because they're not mutually exclusive. It's possible to miss your home. It's possible to yearn for your bed and your mom's favorite meal and your pet and, of course, your electronics. And at the same time, be incredibly happy, confident, and filled with feelings of independence by virtue of being away from all of those things.
So what does my experience say about me? That I enjoyed camp, Girl Scout camp. I had a lot of fun. There were a few, you know, things I wasn't wild about. And it wasn't until the very end that I remember thinking, gosh, I'm kind of homesick. I want to go home now.
Well, I think one of the lessons of it is that homesickness isn't a feeling that comes at an absolutely predictable time and is gotten over with in an absolutely predictable time. The conventional wisdom, and actually what I knew about it as a psychologist when I started to write this book, was, you know, you go away, you're homesick for the first 2 or 3 days, and then you get distracted and you get involved, and then you're never homesick again. And that's not actually the way it works. It comes at unexpected times. It blindsides some kids who were not anxious kids, never had trouble doing sleepovers, and wham, they get to camp. And it really hits them harder. About 19% of kids have significant distress at camp. What I point out in the book, however, is these kids are my heroes, because many of them realize they have to take this in hand and get over it, and that their parents can't help them. Your parents, by definition, can't help you get over homesickness, because if they keep calling, it's making you more homesick, right?
Yeah, I think you told the story in the book about a little boy who kept on writing his, I think it was his dad at first, saying, "Please come get me, I'm so homesick." And right. Dad just tucked the letters away and didn't even show Mom.
Yeah, because he knew his wife would unravel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, but it gave a hard marital moment when he produced these letters and said to his wife that I didn't think you could take them. She told me that she read them and she, quote, did a face plant on the dining room table out of, you know, grief. But by the time the husband showed them to her, her son had started to write some pretty upbeat letters. "Send me chocolate chip cookies. I want to give them to all the members of my cabin."
Yeah. Yeah, so of those, you know, 19-20% of kids that become, you know, severely distressed or really homesick, most of them get over it?
Well, actually, the 19% have significant distress at points. There's a smaller band of 6 out of 100 kids, 6%, who have unremitting homesickness. That is homesickness every day. And of camp, up until right until the end, they have the opposite of what you had, Joy. They have it every day, and it's in the last 2 days they brighten up and they think, I'm out of here. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. What to me is most interesting is that 52% of those kids go back. Mm-hmm. I met a woman in Toronto who said, I had a terrible first year at camp. And then I knew I had to go back. I said, what do you mean? And she said, I knew I had to beat this thing. And I don't think parents give their children enough credit for the kind of guts it takes to grow up. So when I was reading the literature, and there's a very good literature on homesickness done by a psychologist at Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire, and he's been a camp counselor for like 30, I mean, he's been to the same camp for 33 summers running, and he's done all of his research at camps in his area of New Hampshire. He studied these kids and found that the 52% of them go back and that they want to take charge of their own development. Parents often think that they're the ones who ought to be able to manage it, but they can't.
Well, in fact, indeed, aren't you? You were concerned because so many parents were afraid to send their kids to camp for various reasons, but it was as though the parent was, you know, didn't want to separate from the child.
That's right, and I think parents have a hard time separating what I call child sickness.
Child's
homesickness. Mm-hmm. They imagine how anxious the child is going to be when they're away from home, but it's in fact the parent feeling, I'm going to miss this child so much. Camp directors tell me that more and more parents are starting to call them and say about their 9-year-old daughter, well, she says she's ready to go, but I'm not ready to have her go. And I got interested in this topic as my work as a psychologist in schools. And I was seeing that the fifth grade overnight science camp trip or the traditional sixth grade trip to New York City was done by a little suburban Montessori school in Boston, that the parents were getting into a real panic. And the schools were calling me, I do a lot of school consulting, to say, our parents need help, our parents need settling down, can you talk to them? And they were really in a state, some of them. And schools tell me they're getting more and more parents who won't allow their kids to go on the fifth grade overnight trip unless the parent gets to go as a chaperone.
Yeah. So what do you tell these parents? Why should they let their kids go on one of these sleepaway camps?
Well, because it's a huge step in the child's independence. And at a certain point, you got to be independent. I was saying earlier that I admire kids who take it in hand. When I read this research that 6% of kids have unremitting homesickness, I went to my son, Will, who's now 21, and in college, never had a moment of homesickness in college. But when he went to camp at 13, I knew he was pretty homesick. So I went back to him 8 years after he'd first gone to camp and said, Will, that first summer, you were gone for a month. Were you homesick a lot? Yeah, Dad. It was pretty bad. Were you homesick every day? Yeah, Dad. Every day, really? Every day, except the last two or three. And I said, well, why'd you go back to camp the next summer? He said, you wanted me to, Dad. And that, of course, made me feel terrible. But I said, wait a second. You didn't fight me. You didn't give me you didn't push back very hard. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, if you can't learn to sleep away from home, it means you have to live with your parents for the rest of your life.
Smart boy.
Right? Well, the kids get that your parents can't make it possible for you to leave them. You have to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. I think my homesickness that I felt at the end of my camping trip as a Girl Scout was a little bit of what I feel sometimes if I'm on a long vacation. It's time to go sleep in my own bed.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, or yes, I miss my dog, and you know, that kind of thing. Where you know, it's just I've been gone long enough that it's time to go back to the
right. And then you let yourself feel it, but you let it was the challenge and the novelty and dealing with having to get to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Well, through the forest of spiders, right?
Right, exactly. And then I didn't mention that there were boys who lived in the nearby community that scared us one night by throwing stones at our tent. I think they were chased off by one of the camp counselors. But
yes, of course. These are great old camp traditions. The boys coming over and raiding the girls' camp. And
yes. Yeah. Did you ever hear of a cow coming into a campsite and eating a bar of soap from the water pump?
I have not.
I guess that's unique to my my Girl Scout days. We're talking about the benefits of camp, summer camp, or sleepaway camp. Not talking about a day camp, but the camps where you go and you spend a week or so, or maybe even more. Is it something that you did as a kid? Is it something that you're considering for your child? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest says that sleepaway camp should be included in your summer plans for your children, and is talking about how camp can foster independence and maturity in children. He is the author of Homesick and Happy: How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. He is psychologist Michael Thompson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining.
So do you have memories like that from a summer camping experience when you were a kid? We are talking about Homesick and Happy: How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. And we're welcoming your camp memories, your questions for our guest about the joys and the benefits of camp. Maybe you have questions about how to deal with a child who has homesickness. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Michael Thompson is author of Homesick and Happy. He's also a consulting school psychologist and a former board member of the American Camp Association. And we have on Facebook, Lisa writing, "I joined Girl Scouts when I was 5. Well, specifically so I could go to camp. I got on the bus the summer I turned 6 without a backward glance, and I spent the week. I loved it.
Oh, brave girl.
I loved it so much that I went for longer and longer every year thereafter until I was old enough to work at the camp. I look back at those days with deep fondness and delight. I take lessons I learned at camp with me every day in life, from survival skills to cooperation to simple human kindness." Well, what do you make of that experience?
Joy, let me ask you a question. Can you recite the Girl Scout Creed?
Make new friends, but keep the old. No, that's a song.
That's part of it. No, that's part of it.
That was a song. That was a song that we sang in Girl Scouts.
But I remember.
It doesn't come to mind immediately. But
what's interesting is that I work in some of the top independent or private schools in the United States, schools that really have talented kids that they think they're preparing for leadership. But there's no school that I've ever worked in that has the kind of leadership training that camps have. And it's because the camp directors are looking at these young Girl Scouts and thinking, all right, who is going to be the good counselors in 10 years? We've got a 7-year-old. At 17, is she going to be able to be head of a cabin? And the way camps raise kids up for leadership and the way they inculcate them with values is impressive to me. I've visited probably more than 500 public and private schools and international schools in my career as a school consultant. But I was so struck when I began visiting camps for this book, and kids would give me a tour and they'd recite the woodcraft rules or the laws of the community. And there's something about living in a 24/7 community, living in a cabin, maybe having chapels or campfires that are quite spiritual, that fills kids with a desire to want to know what the basic rules of community life are. And they're different from school, and they're different from your neighborhood, and in some way they're more vivid and memorable.
We'll go now to Chet in Athens. Hello, Chet.
Yes, I would like to share our family's experience. When we lived in Illinois, we started sending our children, a boy and a girl, to a private camp in Eagle River. They were about 7 years old, and eventually they matriculated to becoming junior counselors and so forth. But the big value of this camping experience is the global community. Children from all over the world come up to Eagle River area. There's children from Thailand. My son's cabin mate was from Japan, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And these kids can experience things like horseback riding, drama, on a daily basis. And this is a 7-week program. Some of the camps there are 8 weeks. But it just makes your children so independent. My daughter's in school now in New York and rarely experiences this homesickness that sometimes freshmen at college do. So it really makes the child ready for the world of the global nature we're going to face.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic experience, Chet.
7 weeks, though, Chet. When did at what age did your kids go away for 7 weeks?
When they're seven, and it's amazing. Some of the kids there were 6 years old, and people send their kids from all over. Many of the clientele is from Mexico at this camp, and it's amazing how these children will, when they leave at the end of the summer, you have never seen so many tears and so many hugs.
Yes.
And just,
yes.
It's just amazing to experience what
how close they get. And they're all on an equal footing, isn't it? But there are people fainting all over the country now when they hear that you sent a 7-year-old away for 7 weeks. There are parts of the country where I go and talk about camping, and they think, well, isn't that child abuse? You must not want your children. But you're saying what I believe, which is that it makes your child independent in a way that nothing else does.
Well, what is the optimal age to send a child away to a sleepaway camp, and for how long?
Well, I think it depends on temperament. There's some kids who love sleepovers, are always comfortable leaving their house, staying overnight, going for a week to their grandparents. And those are there's some kind of bold kids who are really ready to go at quite a young age. There are other kids, and my son was one. I had a kind of bold out the door kind of daughter, and a more cautious and anxious son who went later. So you have to consult your child's temperament, see who, whether he or she is saying, "I want to go to camp. My friends are going to camp. I wish I could go to camp." But if they're saying it at seven, or if you did it yourself and you know it's doable, the parent has to have confidence. If you're a very anxious parent and you keep saying to your child, "Well, it's good for you to go to camp, I guess, but are you sure you're going to be all right?" You undermine your child's sense of confidence. So it takes two things: a child's temperament, their readiness, and at the same time, the parent's confidence in the child.
Did you, Michael Thompson, experience a sleepaway camp when you were a child?
I did.
Yeah, because you did a lot of things that maybe kids would do when you were an adult, like jumping into a nice cold lake and that sort of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got dragged into a lot of activities when I was writing this camp book, because I visited about 20 camps over 2 summers and a lot of weekend programs and mini camps as well. And I did the introduction to the book. I described how some counselors kind of said, "You got a choice here. If you want to be the writer of watching what these kids do, you're going to have to go into Lake Champlain." It was a weekend camp, and it was October 30th, and it was cold.
And you took that dare.
I did, because they said if you don't do what the kids do, you might as well pack it in, go up to the inn, have a drink. And I thought, well, that's a challenge. And I'm talking about kids taking a challenge. So I felt I ought to do it myself. It was just ridiculous because I was 64 years old, and these counselors were around 30. And the kids had much higher metabolic rates. But I did it, and I felt triumphant, and the kids felt triumphant. And, you know, a lot of parents these days think that they want to be there for their kids' triumphs. They want to be there at every town soccer game. They want to be there for every ice hockey game. And that will make the experience better for the child.
Yeah. Well,
and that is a basic misunderstanding, that sometimes a child really wants to have the triumph on his or her own and come back and report to the parent. And it's annoying or distracting mm-hmm. to always have your father at your ice hockey games watching you, because, you know, I'm going to have to deal with what he thought of the game rather than just what I thought of the game. And you have to be on your own to have full ownership of it.
I never thought of it that way. That's a wise thing. What about, though, your sleepaway experience when you were a kid? What was your experience, and how did it shape you?
I went to an Audubon day camp for years, and for 2 weeks a summer, I went to this day Audubon camp. It put me in such a relationship to nature, even though I was a New York City boy. This camp, which I went to when I was visiting my grandparents in the summer, gave me a taste for camp life. Then, when my grandmother was dying, they shipped me off for 8 weeks to a camp. I was very homesick. I hadn't chosen it. It happened because there was a family illness, and I was pretty kind of stunned by it. So I didn't have a great first experience. But I later went up to a canoeing camp in Ontario, and that was just a huge part of my feeling like a confident teenager. The fact that I could carry a canoe on my shoulders when I weighed 125 pounds and the canoe weighed about 105 pounds, and I learned how to do that and paddle all day and portage, those are my first experiences really of feeling like, you know, a young man in the world.
Michael Thompson is the author of Homesick and Happy, How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. Talking primarily about summer camp and how that can help children foster independence. And
you're a big summer camp state, aren't you, Joy?
Yeah, I think it is a pretty big summer camp state.
My niece and nephew from Chicago went to summer camps in Wisconsin.
Oh, did they?
You do some paddling canoes around there, too.
Oh, yeah, lots of paddling of canoes and, as you know, swimming, lots of lakes, that kind of thing. So, yeah, and it's funny because I do remember the name of that Girl Scout camp, even though it was many, many years ago, Camp Victoray. I mean, sounded exotic to me. It's almost like Camp Victory, but not exactly.
Right, Victoray.
I think there might be a Native American twinge to that. Jim in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Jim.
Well, great show, and bringing back some fond memories with my son. I'm going to give a shout-out to Bear Paw Scout Camp. We're talking Boy Scouts now. My son started scouting late. He didn't start as a cubby and all the Weeblo things. He went right into scouting. And as we cast it around for something we thought he'd enjoy doing, sports maybe weren't his forte at the time. But then I also got involved because the troop always needs some adults. So really, that was my first experience at a camp, was his first experience at a camp. And a scoutmaster by the name of Clancy pulled me aside and said, your job this week is to just enjoy the camp. He says, you're not going to be your son's father. He says, you can help with the other boys if there's a need. But he said, we'll just let Matt strike out on his own. And the day we set up camp, Mountain, Wisconsin received just about 2 inches of rain in about an hour and a half.
Ooh.
And everything was damp. And I can remember him looking up at me at Cracker Barrel time after supper, because we all carried a tarp as a troop down to the mess hall so that we could eat. It was raining so hard. And he just kind of like, I don't know about this. But, you know, I never said a word. He never said a word. And now he's a business. He's going to run the business part of one of the Weeble camps. He's been going back ever since because he was going to continue striving, has been a counselor, got his ego. still going back and helping, even though he's in college right now. And, you know, he's just an independent young man that can take care of himself, you know, the way I see it.
Excellent.
And camping helps that, so...
And, Jim, you did let him grow on his own without following him around during that first camp experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had so much fun. I grew up on a farm. I never had scouting as an experience. So that was my first week away also.
So he had a great time as an adult and let his son, I guess, explore on his own. How about that, Michael?
Well, Jim, I was wanting to ask whether your son, it's Matt, right? Whether he... These were the most powerful leadership experiences of his boyhood.
Absolutely.
It sounds like he didn't play town sports. That wasn't his thing.
No, it was not. It absolutely is not. More of a bookworm. But
right.
As a family, we enjoy the Northwoods, and so did he. You know, so it's just been. I mean, scouting and outdoors and Matt are one and the same, along with the music that he's so. That he's going to school for. So, I mean, it's such a wide range of interests.
Yeah. Did he get to play some music up at camp, too?
Oh, yeah. He did the music marriage badge 1 year and outdoor skills. He's taught that. Again, he's gone up to the point where now he's a business manager as a young man at a Weeblo camp here in Wisconsin. So, you know, he's stepping up,
right.
Even though he's already outside of the, you know, he's an adult, but he's still going back and helping, at least as long as he can.
Sure. Well, the boys continue to need him. I'll tell you what I do. I identify with your son because I was a boy who didn't like organized team sports. I was a pretty anxious boy, didn't have great hand-eye coordination. So, you know, being on a basketball team, I was always throwing up clunkers and was always the kid who was hoping they don't give me the ball at the end of the game. But when you're a boy, you think, how do I know I'm a strong boy? How do I know I'm a man if I'm not good at sports? And one of the things about camp is you get to prove your independence and your competence in ways that aren't just team sports. And I think this the tyranny of team sports is that it doesn't suit all kids, and camp gives them different ways to prove themselves.
You know, but Jim did bring up the, on the other hand, example of how sometimes a camp experience can be kind of miserable, as he said, with rain and, you know, wet sleeping bags and who knows else what might happen during a camping trip. But that's all a part of the experience, and that's all good too, Michael Thompson?
Well, I have a long description in my book of 11-year-olds coming back from their first 5-day canoeing trip away from base camp, this camp in Ontario, where I'm the consultant. And the kids always get up and tell about their first journey. They stand up in a line with their counselor. The counselor says, these are the lakes we went to and stuff like that. And the kids all get up and they tell a story. And the stories are always catastrophe. It was raining. We couldn't make a fire. Our tarpaulin blew away. We were in the middle of the lake when a thunderstorm broke out. We were terrified. We raced for shore. There was this. It's all one disaster after another. And some of them are wearing shorts, and you see 90 mosquito bites on their legs. And the thing is, they are all smiling and full of triumph because they couldn't complain to their parents. They couldn't run into the house. They had to deal. And they know it's changed them and made them stronger. And they are so full of success. I don't mean arrogant. They're really, we did something. And it was substantial. We survived.
Yeah, and it was a learning experience when my friend got poison ivy, too. We found out how to avoid that.
yes, there's that, too.
Kathy in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Kathy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to share an experience I had, and it's hard to believe, but it was almost 50 years ago. And my best friend and I went to Camp Alice Chester a week. Excuse me. And I don't think a month goes by that we don't talk about it. We still have the little name tags that we made because everybody had nicknames. We made them out of pieces of bark and macaroni And we just had just such wonderful experiences. And to think that we've relived them hundreds and hundreds of times, I think is very telling.
Oh, that is. So what was your nickname, Kathy?
We were Sunny and Bunny.
Sunny and Bunny.
And we still can't remember who was who.
But Kathy?
Yeah.
I tried to tackle this question in the book because so many people said camp friendships are the best friendships. Now, here's a woman, and you went to camp with her when you were girls 50 years ago, and you didn't spend the amount of time with her that you spent with your friends at home. Was this just a camp friend?
No, she was a friend from grade school.
Oh, so you mm-hmm. You had her summer and winter.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I tried to unravel a mystery of why camp friendships are so close. And some people said to me, well, it's just like one long sleepover. It's so intense. And you go through these shared journeys together. I interviewed five hilarious women from a camp in Vermont who'd been together from the time as campers and counselors from the age of 8 up until their early 20s. And I said, you know, what makes you such close friends? And one of them said, we've seen each other naked a lot.
Oh,
and I think that's part of the intimacy of camp. But it's the shared adventures. But these women, I spent an evening talking with them over some bottles of wine, and they said that they always felt their camp friends, even just 2 weeks or then later a month in the summer, it made a more intense bond than going to school together.
I can imagine. I have to admit that my Girl Scout friends were neighborhood and school friends as well. So I didn't make a friend exclusively at camp when I had that experience, but I know what Kathy means too. How about bark and macaroni? There's nothing like making arts and crafts out of macaroni. What is with macaroni? Here's an email from Anne. She writes, "I was a bullied kid in grade school, and going to a YMCA camp at 11 gave me the confidence to know what true friendship was and to stand up for myself at school. It changed my life. A shout out to the YMC camp in Hastings in Lake Villa, Illinois." So the YMCA camp Hastings in Lake Villa, Illinois. So here's someone who did meet a true friend at camp, and yes. It helped her as a kid who was bullied in grade school.
And gave her the confidence to go back and change her situation in school. Mm-hmm. I love stories like that. I just love stories like that. I spent a lot of time at two YMCA camps in Western Massachusetts. I live in just outside Boston. They were close to me, and I thought they did a great job.
We're talking with Michael Thompson. He is author of Homesick and Happy, How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. This is the time of year when parents might be starting to plan summer activities for their kids, and our guest says that a sleepaway camp should be included in your summer plans because camp can foster independence and maturity in your children. We're welcoming your questions for him. We're welcoming your own camp memories at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, I don't remember that one, but apparently that's a camp song. How about you? Do you remember singing songs around the campfire or other camp activities? We're talking about the joys and the benefits of summer camp and sleepaway camps in particular. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Michael Thompson. He is a consulting school psychologist. He's a former board member of the American Camp Association, and he is author of Homesick and Happy, How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. Our next caller is Gloria in La Crosse. Hi, Gloria.
Hi.
Hi. Did you have a camping experience?
More of a parent experience.
Oh, good.
I sent my second grader to camp, and it was about a five-day camp, and I thought that was appropriate at her age. I got a letter. It was actually, I didn't get the letter till the day I was going to pick her up, but the letter said, "Mom, I miss you so very, very, very much. I feel like I am dead." And so I, of course, you know, if you could pick up your children at 3 o'clock, I was there at 2:59 to get my poor daughter, who was then way too busy for me. She was part of the flag ceremony, and she was had all these other activities, and she was just having a wonderful time. And so I, you know, just kept that all to myself. And then I said, "What was with the letter?" And she actually said, "Well, it was like I was looking at things from outside my body, and it was just so weird to be away from you." And it was kind of like she kind of looked at herself and thought, "I can do this." So that "I feel like I am dead" was not really total depression, but just kind of feeling this is such a strange experience. And she did go back to camp and was very independent.
Yeah, well, a reaction to that, Michael Thompson?
Well, it's one of the reasons that I object to the fact that some camps are now starting to let parents and children be in touch by email. And it's because the parents want to be in touch more quickly. So, you know, the kids write a letter, but the parents, bam, want to be able to know that they're having their child get a reply. And what's nice about old-fashioned letters is that the child gets to develop. They send off this miserable feeling or this weird feeling, and it then the parent gets it and then writes back. In this case, there was a pickup here because it was only a five-day camp. But so Gloria was there to pick her child up. But sometimes children put feelings in a letter and send them off, and then they get to change on their own, without having their parents react immediately to the feeling. My guess is if Gloria had talked to her daughter within 24 hours of her daughter sending that letter, that she might have made it feel triply weird. But her daughter sending it off then could just become a camper and get involved. And that's what happened.
Thank you very much, Gloria, for the call. Christopher in Platteville is with us now. Hi, Christopher.
My call.
Yes.
I just wanted to share my first camp experience. I was 9 years old when I went off to Skylodge Christian Camp in Monticello for the first year. And I remember one time I was like, I do a paper out, and I get up at 4 a.m. So like just before like everybody gets up, I'd wake up and start getting ready for the paper out, but then realize that, oh wait, I'm here at camp. So then I have to try to fall back asleep.
no fun. But other than that, you had a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, there was different activities. Like, it was more of a recreational. There was like you could go canoeing, swimming in the pool, playing basketball. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Were you lonely when you woke up at 4 o'clock in the cabin with everybody else sleeping and you were just kind of on your own?
Not really. I mean, I was just like, oh, okay, I'm not at home. I don't have to get up anymore, or for the week. And so I just tried to fall back asleep.
So it's disorienting, isn't it, to wake up in a strange bed in a cabin? How old were you, Christopher?
I was 9 when this happened, or when I did this.
And you'd already been doing a paper route? Wow. Good for you.
So any desire to go camping today, Christopher?
I'm looking forward to going to a Boy Scout camp up in La Crosse, Camp Decor. It's a really nice camp. I've been there before.
And are you going to be a counselor or something, or a part of the Boy Scouts?
I'm still 17, so I'm part of I'll be a camper there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I guess you were older, yeah.
I thought, look at how mature he is, Michael Thompson.
He makes my point. These leadership positions in camps make you grow up faster, take more responsibility. Christopher, can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
Like you're going into your senior year?
Yeah.
In high school. Do you find that the kids who've been camp counselors are more responsible in high school than the kids who haven't been dining like that, taking care of younger ones?
Let's see. I haven't been like a Boy Scout counselor, but I worked at Sky Lodge as a staff crew, and just that alone, like just being on a, not working directly with kids, but it gives you the sense of responsibility because you have other older, like college students or older adults, and they tell you that you need to get this done and such, and then you got to fulfill it because it's required of you, and
right.
So it does give you a sense of maturity and leadership and such.
Well, Christopher, thank you so much for sharing your story, and have a good time this summer at camp. And Michael Thompson, you do make the point that the camp counselors are also good role models for the kids at camp, that they might say, hey, you know, maybe I want to do this as I grow up, or I certainly might want to go to college when I grow up, because look at camp counselor Sally.
Because right, I'm living with a college student.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to make you want to be more motivated for college? If you're 13, is it your mom saying every day, you have to do your homework so you can go to college, you have to do your homework because college just means you get a good job, or actually living and taking instructions from and modeling yourself on college students?
Right.
Who are fun and cool and entertaining and fit, you know?
Let's go to Dick now in Waukesha. Hello, Dick.
Hi. Say, this doesn't start out with a camp, but when I was 11 years old, we lived in New Jersey, and my family farmed me off to an uncle up in Massachusetts who was to teach me how to swim. About the third day, we were down in the water, and I balked at putting my face in the water, and he shoved my head under, and I took off.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And I ran up across the beach and the grass and the road and a hay stubble field about 50, 60 feet wide. Try that sometime. Yeah. Anyway, next year, I was 12 years old by then, I went to Boy Scout camp in western New Jersey, and I was going to learn how to swim. And after the tour of the camp at supper, we had sitting around the tent talking, and a kid came into the end of the tent and said, do you have the left-handed tent wrench here? And we all responded, said, well, it was here somewhere, and we rummaged around looking for it. Well, it was probably out in the back. And then, anyway, we went to bed, and it started raining. It rained for all the rest of the week except the last day. And the swimming area was 5 or 6 feet deep in water. So we pleaded on Sunday when everybody, the new people were coming in, can we stay another week? And I learned how to swim.
Oh, and where was that left-handed wrench?
It was right next to the pail of steam.
All right. Well, I'm glad you learned how to swim. That's a better way to learn how to swim than having your uncle to stick your head underwater, I would guess.
Not within 10 feet of him after that.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Anything on that, Michael?
Well, I mean, obviously, you and I, Joy, didn't like his uncle's technique.
Yeah.
Very often, relatives, even including parents, don't know how to handle a child's anxiety about swimming. Do you kind of push them in the water, push their head under? No. But the modern parent, not wanting to upset their child too much, will tend to get, if the child gets anxious about swimming, the parent gets anxious about swimming, they can't make them, then they get disappointed, and they get disappointed in each other, and it goes very badly. I find that kids just do better in mastering their fears when they're being supervised by 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
They just do better because they want to impress them. They want, and they trust them because the other kids trust them. So a waterfront director at a camp has the power to really get kids over their fears and make them swimmers.
A listener emails, I am one of those parents who has anxiety about leaving my child with people I do not know. I would be fine with leaving my child at a camp for a week if the staff does a parent orientation the night beforehand. I have an issue with trusting total strangers to take care of my child for a week. Most people are trustworthy, but I worry about those that are not and keeping them away from my child. Any advice to let go of this fear?
Yes, and I think it's a very common fear. You need to get to know the camp director. There's never going to be a time when you can get to know every counselor who's going to have some contact or teaching relationship with your child. What you have to do is get to know the camp director and feel that that person is trustworthy and that they would hire trustworthy people. You shouldn't send your child to a camp where you don't trust the camp director. And the camp director really, that's the beating heart and soul of a camp. And that's the person who's been raising up these counselors since they were young and picking the very best of them to be camp counselors. So you should have a long talk with a camp counselor, and you should put your fears on the table and what you're scared about, and give the camp director a chance to reassure you. But my guess is, you didn't name this parent, but my guess is that this person did not themselves go to camp. And I think it's a tougher leap for people who didn't go to camp to then turn around and send a child off. The bridge to trust is the personality and the wisdom and experience of a camp director.
Next we go to Jean in East Troy. Hi, Jean.
Good morning. What a nice program. I have a slightly different experience with Camp Alice Chester, as the woman spoke about before. I lived there for 7 years. My dad was the caretaker, and for many years, my mother was the cook. I, in fact, was what they called a Cinderella, Cindy for short, and I did live in a tent, even though my home was on the property, and we were the dishwashers, and we were the bug juice makers. That's like a Kool-Aid.
Oh, that's why you were the Cinderella. Okay.
Yes.
You had to do all the work.
All the work, yes, mm-hmm. But it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun, and I made a lot of good friends. We weren't counselors, but we kind of hung around with the counselors, and they were pretty impressed that I had to leave my home on the camp and sleep in a tent like the rest of them.
No, it sounds like a great experience as a kid. But maybe did you resent it while you're doing it, doing all the work, Jean?
No, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and I met my husband through the camp, and we're both from East Troy, and we had our wedding reception at the camp lodge.
What a great story! You really have, there's a lifelong bond, I guess, Michael Thompson, if you've had this experience, perhaps?
The Wall Street Journal, a couple of years ago, did a piece on people getting married back at their old summer camps. Camps have a way of tapping in to the deepest spiritual place in kids. And I'm not a particularly spiritual person myself, and I didn't feel qualified to write about it too much, but I must say I was impressed with it, how the combination of nature and these close relationships with counselors and the democratic community that Jean was just describing. You know, pretty much everybody at the same level, even though they have different work there. There's something very democratic, small d, about being in the woods and living in tents and using common showers and that kind of thing. It creates strong feeling.
This was a fascinating hour. I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Michael Thompson, author of Homesick and Happy, How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Amanda Magnus, and to Judith Sears-Poisson for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.